Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc. November is National American Indian Heritage Month, and on the first of the month, the Bard Center for Indigenous Studies will present a community fair at Bard Fisher Center Sosnoff Theater, which will include food, a maker's market, and a performance by Julia Keefe Indigenous Big Band, who we've just heard coming into this segment. Indigenous jazz musicians, ensembles, and big bands have created their place in the contemporary jazz world and in jazz history. The Julia Keefe Indigenous Big Band is an ensemble of Native and Indigenous jazz musicians from across Indian country. The Bard Center for Indigenous Studies Community Fair begins at 5:30 p.m. on Saturday, November 1st at Bard Fisher Center. Christianine Crouch is a Dean of Graduate Studies at Bard, Professor of History and American and Indigenous Studies, and Director of the Center for Indigenous Studies, and she joins us now. Christiane, welcome to the roundtable. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Sarah.
It's our pleasure. The Center for Indigenous Studies at Bard was founded in 2022. Tell us about the work that this specific center does and what hole it's filling in the sort of, you know, Bard landscape.
Of course. So, as you said, the Center for Indigenous Studies began in 2022, and we carry a mission to develop the broadest possible educational and public programming focused on humanities, sciences, and arts in Native American and Indigenous studies. And we also work to increase Indigenous communities' access to higher education.
How did the founding come about?
So some of this work had been longstanding at Bard, undertaken by different faculty members for the last few decades, faculty working in what was formerly known as American Studies and is now American and Indigenous Studies, and also working in studio arts and history and anthropology. And then one of the big catalysts was a Mellon Humanities for All Times project that Bard received in 2021, funding a project called Rethinking Place, Bard on Mahikanituk, which was really to develop a land acknowledgement-based curriculum across the college, support faculty initiatives, support student research, and we were very fortunate that the Gotchman Family Foundation helped us to make this initial project work permanent through the Center for Indigenous Studies.
We're, of course, going to discuss the big and exciting event that you have coming up this weekend. But before we do, what are some of your specific duties as director of the Center for Indigenous Studies? How does that impact your work, and who do you mostly work with, and how do you, you know, spread the message of the center?
So my closest colleague at the center is Brandy Norton, who is the curator for public programs. She's actually the person who puts together all of our public-facing programming. She's Inupiaq. She's an amazing colleague, a brilliant thinker who has both an arts background and a background in early childhood education. We also have a program coordinator, Sophia Gaffney, who helps us work with different projects, and a research associate, Olivia Tenser, who has helped us to develop library work and programming and acquisitions in conjunction with Bard Stevenson Library. So it's a small core team. And then our job is really to facilitate coordination and partnership with all of the different programs across Bard campus. So we work with different departments to support things that they might be interested in, visits of Native artists, or thinkers or activists to classes. We work with some of the cultural institutions at Bard, like Fisher Center or Bard Summerscape. We've sponsored programming at Spiegel Tent. We work with the Center for Curatorial Studies and the Hessel Museum. So it's really to be able to help connect and uplift interest across the campus. And then we also try to partner with Indigenous, contemporary Indigenous artists and makers who want to reach out to different college audiences or to connect them within the Bard network nationally and internationally.
The community fair, the Center for Indigenous Studies Community Fair, begins at 5:30 p.m. on Saturday, November 1st. Before we talk more in depth about Julia Keefe Indigenous Big Band, tell me about the food and makers market elements of your fair.
Yes. So this is a celebration to kick off Native American Heritage Month, and we're starting with a community gathering with complimentary food offerings from Chef Taylor Barton. So Chef Barton is a Cherokee Nation citizen, And she's created a menu that celebrates seasonal indigenous foodways. And her cooking is a real tribute to Cherokee culinary wisdom, basically serving up history on a plate. So it was a way of making something very tangible and showing the continuance of Native traditions with contemporary spins, but also acknowledging past. And then the Maker's Market is featuring work by local artists and providing information about BARD-affiliated programs, because we really want to be not just a resource for the internal BARD community, but a hub to help uplift other kinds of voices. So we're hoping it'll be fun. There's going to be a kids table, something that everyone can feel that they can wander in and out of in advance of the concert.
And at 7 p.m., as we've mentioned, Julia Keefe Indigenous Big Band will perform. Julia Keefe, an incredibly acclaimed musician and music knower with a mission to excavate the music of unrecognized, underrecognized Indigenous jazz composers. Tell us about the history of jazz in the American Indian community and how they, I don't think it's something that, you know, a lot of people necessarily know is an element of the community.
Absolutely. So Julia Keefe's Indigenous Big Band is an incredible performance group. I hope that all of your listeners, if they haven't gotten tickets, will after hearing the beautiful intro that you played. So one of the things that I have found as a historian, since I work in Native American and Indigenous Studies and U.S. history, is that most people tend to locate Indigenous experience in the past, when in fact there is this incredibly rich and dynamic 20th century tradition of Indigenous artists engaging in contemporary music like jazz. In the 20s and 30s, jazz became an avenue by which many Indigenous performers were able to connect with new audiences and provide resources for their communities and also find aesthetic fulfillment. You see it in the arts as well, with the place of Indigenous graphic designers and also painters who were part of in American movements like modernism. So there's a wonderful exhibition at the Met Museum right now of George Morrison's paintings from when he was connected with the abstract expressionists at the Cedar Tavern in New York City. And it's really a way of showing audiences that American tradition and culture is as much built and as innovative thanks to Indigenous voices as any other community. They are really a part of the fabric, not just as First Nations, but as innovators who are continuing to help develop a contemporary culture.
And why do you suppose that the, because I know that Julia specifically is presenting music by composers that she believes are incredibly valuable to the history of jazz that are underrecognized. Why do you suppose they are underrecognized?
I think that we tend to gravitate towards what is familiar. I think some of this has to do with the history of the music industry in many different ways. This is an industry that was very much dominated by people from a relatively homogenous group who also had means and access. So a lot of financially stable musicians who were able to get acclaim because they could travel, because they didn't have the same kinds of community obligations, because they came from backgrounds of wealth. And, you know, there's a way in which I think Americans tend to default towards a very black and white presentation of history. So we acknowledge the African diasporic roots of jazz, but we don't really imagine other communities participating in this in different ways, when in fact there were deep connections and exchanges among peoples of African descent and peoples of Indigenous descent and folks of European descent. So there's a real melting pot and entanglement that gets elided by the traditional story of jazz. And I think some of it is also we imagine jazz being in certain kinds of centers, like places like New York City or maybe New Orleans, and not really seeing it in the Mountain West or in the Plains. And yet these were places that had incredibly dynamic music scenes of their own. And I think Julia Keefe and Delbert Anderson, her co-founder, are really working to make sure that we have this incredibly encompassing, embracing map of where we see American culture.
Christiane Aine Crouch is Dean of Graduate Studies at Bard, Professor of History and American and Indigenous Studies, and Director of the Center for Indigenous Studies. The Bard Center for Indigenous Studies Community Fair begins at 5:30 p.m. on Saturday, November 1st at Bard Fisher Center. The Julia Keefe Indigenous Big Band will perform at 7 p.m. fishercenter.bard.edu for more information. Christiane Aine Crouch, thank you very much for your time and for putting together this marvelous program.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I hope to see you there on Saturday.
Again, the event begins at 5:30, the concert at 7, and you can learn more at fishercenter.bard.edu. We will post that link along with this conversation at wamc.org. You're listening to The Roundtable.